morning. Welcome to Christ Church. We are so glad you're here with us. If it's in person or if it's online, we'd love to worship with you today. Hey, we want to thank you for your generosity, the way you've made an impact in this church and in the lives of so many people all over Northeastern Ohio. We're still collecting hygiene kits that we're passing out at our 21 Men's 100 shelter in Cleveland and also at our food distributions. So if you're interested in being a blessing in that way, you can check online to figure out what to put in the bags and when and where to drop them off. There's two ways to give. The first is our Christ Church Ohio app, and the second is our Christ Church Ohio website. This Wednesday at 7 p.m., we're going to be doing the Lord's Supper online. It's the perfect way to just remember all the good that God has done, to recommit to the peace and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Now, as we stand in worship, I just want to remind you, it's not about how beautiful we sing or hitting the perfect notes. It's about singing and honoring our God and whispering these words to Him. So right now, just put your focus on worship and worshiping our great God. Please stand and have a great service.
I give you glory for all you brought me through, and now I'm ready for whatever you wanna do. I'm moving forward to follow after you, and now I'm ready for whatever you wanna do. Your grace has been enough, and I'm believing the best is yet to come. The cross before me, my hope on things above, and in you, Jesus, the best is yet to come. Your presence, we want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence is an open door, so come now, Lord, like never before. Breakthrough is coming by faith. I see a miracle. My God made me a promise and it won't stop now. I know a breakthrough is coming by faith. I see a miracle. My God made me a promise and it won't stop now. I know a breakthrough is coming by faith. I see a miracle. My God made me a promise and it won't stop now. Sing it one more time. I know a breakthrough is coming by faith. I see a miracle. My God made me a promise and it won't stop now. Oh, thank you. We want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never before. Weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, oh, oh. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. 'Cause I'm not backing down from any giants. 'Cause I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, oh. Take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory.
Hey, good morning, church. Welcome. You can go ahead and take a seat. For those who are watching online, can we just make some noise for them? Welcome them today. We're glad that you're tuning in, glad that you're watching. Even though we're not in the same room, we're still one big family, right? All right. Well, it's good to be with you. And today we are going to continue our sermon series on help for the agitated. We're going to keep talking about frustration and how God calls us to respond to it. And today we're going to talk about everyone's favorite topic. We're going to talk about waiting. Don't you just love to wait for things? Yeah, me either. But there's many times a purpose that God has for it. We're going to talk about it today, but I want to read the scripture to you, Psalm 37. I'm going to read up to verse 7, and then I'll pray for us. It says this, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as a light, your justice as a noonday." And here we go. Here's our verse today. Be still before the Lord. Everybody say, still. And wait patiently for him. Everybody say, wait patiently. Wait, don't those words just hurt a little bit? Wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn to wait on you. Father, teach us that you are worth waiting for, that sometimes in our season of difficulty, it's a time, Lord, where we need to step back and stop trying to control, figure everything out. We need to just rest in you, wait on you, be directed by you. Pray that you could help us to do that today. Father, I pray for those who are just at their limit. They're tuning in, they're watching, they're here in this room, and their tank is empty, and they just don't know how they can keep going with the difficulty that's before them. And I pray you would give them strength this morning. Pray you'd give them endurance. I pray you'd give them hope, and that they could see your purpose in this time. And we pray, Father, through all of this, that your great name would be glorified. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Well, waiting for probably many of us is definitely not our favorite topic. My guess is that you probably don't look and see at the grocery store what's the longest line and then try to go in it, right? You probably don't kind of say, hey, what career could I get started in that's going to take me the longest to move ahead? Am I right on any of this? All right, you're leaving me hanging this morning. Maybe our online folk can give me a little bit more love. But most of us don't like waiting. But there are some things worth waiting for, right? There are some things where it ends up being worth the wait. And I remember when I was a young kid, I got a fascination, and my favorite band of all time was Guns N' Roses. Yes. Yeah. We got some godly people here this morning. And I know some of you may be judging me on this. I'm pretty sure they're a Christian band now. Just kidding. Maybe not. But growing up, that was the band that I loved. Now, when I grew up, if you know anything about their history, Axl Rose tended to be a little bit volatile, and the band broke up in the early 90s. And then, by the time I started liking them, it was kind of the mid-90s, and they had been broken up for years. But in my heart, there is always this longing that, man, wouldn't it be great if one day the band got back together and I could see my favorite band play? And believe it or not, by an act of God, they got back together. This wasn't too long ago. And I got to go to the concert and worship the Lord at a Guns N' Roses concert. It was a beautiful experience. And when I was there, I thought, you know what? The wait, this is worth the wait. Growing up, I longed for it. And then I finally got it, and I thought, man, that is worth the wait. And I want to talk today about these seasons of time where God has us waiting, where we realize that there's really nothing we can do, that we can change, that we can control. And instead, it's a time where we just have to wait on Him. And the biggest thing that I want you to know today is that when we learn to follow God in these seasons, He's always worth the wait. And connecting to Him in this time, there is lots of change and transformation that can take place. So I want to share with you two ideas about waiting today. I want to talk about why we wait, and then I want to talk to you about the how of waiting. So why we do it and how we do it. And the first reason why we do it is that you have to realize that waiting is something the scriptures talk about a lot. There are tons and tons of scripture that call us to wait on the Lord. And so waiting is something that is normal, it's something that's encouraged, and it's something that can become really productive in our walk with God. You with me on this? And so I tell you that because if you find yourself in a moment in life where you feel like, God, where are you? God, I think you should be here already. I think this situation should have been different 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 5 years earlier. If you feel that, if you've experienced that, that's a normal experience in the Christian life. You with me on this? And so I tell you that because I don't want you to feel like your faith is failing you in some way, or that God is failing you. Because what the scriptures tell us is they say, hey, this is to be expected. That there are times where we have to wait on the Lord. Because think about what it's like when you wait on somebody. You're sitting there and you're thinking, where are they at? What's going on? What's taking so long? When are they going to show up? They should have been here by now. Anybody with me? Any married couples? Always waiting on one or the other? We could talk about that another time. But that's the experience of waiting. And so the scriptures say it's normal to have times like that. And so I just want to encourage you today. If you feel like you're at a season in your life where you're like, Lord, just where are you? What's going on? That's not an uncommon experience. And I also want to say this, that it's also not a reason to distrust God. See, God also helps us to see that He's doing something incredibly important in these seasons. That when we are experiencing this sense of waiting on God, it doesn't mean that God doesn't care. It doesn't mean that God's too busy to attend to your need. It doesn't mean that He's turned His back on you. It means He has a deeper purpose. You with me on this, church? And so the Bible says, expect to hit these seasons sometimes. Expect to hit these moments. And these moments are not so God can hurt us, but so God can develop us. Right? The Lord isn't saying, hey, I'm gonna see how long I can just hold out on answering that prayer. And I'm just gonna see how long you can take it. That's not the Lord's heart. The Lord's heart isn't, I'm gonna torture my people by making them just wait as long as possible for this thing that they really want. I'm just going to keep pulling it outside of their grasp. If that's your image of God, that's an image that has been corrupted. But what God does in these seasons is He develops some very important things in our soul that need changed, that need transformed, that need made different. And so these seasons are never to hurt us, but to change us in really, really important ways. And so what are some of the things that happen? Well, the first thing that a waiting season can help us do is it helps us to not make decisions that we shouldn't be making. Sometimes these seasons can be God's way of preventing us from going down paths that we shouldn't go down. There's a story in the book of 1 Samuel, and it's about an ancient king, the first king of Israel, named King Saul. And King Saul had this moment where they had this great battle and this great victory, and then they were going to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Now, in ancient Israel, the sacrifice was something that a king did not do. It was something that only the priest could do. And Saul wasn't that. There was another priest. His name was Samuel. That's the one who the book got named after. And so Samuel was late. And so Saul has everybody around. They're hyped up after victory. They're ready to eat. I mean, and just picture this for a moment. You got a bunch of soldiers that just had one of the biggest victories of their life, and they're hungry. And you're saying, just wait a little bit. Can we agree? That's going to be a little bit of a challenging scenario. And so that's what was required. But Saul waited, but then he couldn't take it anymore, and he did the sacrifice himself, and he took matters into his own hands. And the Lord said, Saul, that wasn't yours to do. And as he was doing that, Samuel showed up, and it became part of a pattern of unraveling in our life. And so I tell you that story because how many times in our life have we been frustrated with a situation? We've been frustrated with something that isn't happening in our life. And instead of really waiting on God and discerning his direction and opening our hearts to what he wants, we just move forward in our own way. And our own way isn't always the right way. Anybody been there before, church? How many times have we moved forward without God's wisdom and blessing and discernment? And what a season of waiting can do is it can help us to not fall into that anxious rushing ahead. Because church, sometimes the way that we deal with anxiety in life is activity. We just do more and more and more. We put more on our plate, not because it's good or wise, but because we're frustrated, because we have this internal energy that we can't deal with. And many times a better option might be to just take a step back and to see what God might want to do in us and through us. So waiting can be a great way to prevent us from rushing ahead. Here's what it also does. It helps clear the sediment in our minds. Have you ever kind of, shaken up like a little kid's toy that has water and it gets all cloudy when you shake it up, or it gets all filled with glitter? We've got a lot of these type of toys at home right now. You shake it up and you put it, it's all cool. But then as the water stills, what happens? The glitter or the cloudiness or the sediment just kind of drains to the bottom and you can see through. And I think right now, for many of our lives, wouldn't you agree, they've been shaken up like that. And I don't know that I'm filled with glitter, but maybe less cool things, but it's made life a little cloudier. And it's filled me with a lot of different emotions and feelings and reactions. And I think everything that's happening in our world is like we're constantly being shooken up. And because of that, it might be hard to see clearly, to see what we value, to see what's really important to us, to see what matters. And so what waiting does is it gives us that opportunity for all the sediment in our hearts and minds to settle, and we can begin to see what God has for us and what God wants for us. You with me on this, church? And then here's the third thing that waiting does. Waiting allows us to be renewed in our strength. If you read all the times in the scripture where God talks about waiting, almost every time it's wait on the Lord, and in some form or fashion, he will renew your strength. And isn't that an interesting thing, that that's how our strength gets renewed? That it comes from just saying, all right, Lord, I need you. I can't figure this out. I'm dependent on you in this moment. You are the vine. I'm the branch. Apart from you, I can do nothing. And when we step into that place in our heart and our mind, we get strengthened by the grace that God has for us. Because here's what I know about life. Life is hard. It's challenging. And you and I are not meant to do it alone. God is there to help us. But sometimes the way that his strength comes is by just pausing our hearts and minds and saying, Lord, I'm not going forward until it's with you. I'm waiting on you to come help me. I'm waiting on you to show me the way, and then I'll move forward. And waiting renews our strength. Here's what else it does. It aligns us with God's timing and purpose. There's a wise man in our church, and he always would say to me over the years, he would say, Chet, don't get ahead of God. And I always thought, why are you saying that to me? And in my mind, I thought, well, you can't really, how can I get ahead of God? Like, you know, he's pretty far ahead. He's got things figured out. But I think what he was really encouraging me and what he probably saw in me was an unhealthy impatience that wants to just kind of make a plan and then tell God to get on board with that plan and be frustrated when he doesn't. Anybody ever do that? You're like, Lord, here's what I want you to do. Please do it. Why aren't you doing it? Instead of coming from the place of not my will, but your will be done. Not my kingdom, but your kingdom come. Lord, show me your way. Teach me your path that I may walk in it. It's a different frame of heart. You with me on this? And so what waiting does is it puts us in that place where we're more willing to align ourselves with God instead of getting God to align with us. See, many times that's my strategy. God, here's what I want. Here's what I think. Align with me. But what waiting says is, God, what I think, what I want, what I know might not be right. So align me with you, and this will go much better moving forward. And waiting puts us in that place. The psalmist said, if you're frustrated, maybe it's because God doesn't want to change what's happening around you. He wants to change what's happening in you. If you're at a place of desperation in your soul, maybe it's a time to allow God to do in you what only he can. And we need to wait on him. And we need to wait, what the psalmist says, patiently, trusting him, expecting that he won't leave us hanging. So that's why we wait. Now, let me give you a few ideas for how to wait. How do we wait? And here's just a couple ideas that have been helpful to me in my life and might be helpful to you. Number one, waiting on the Lord. Here's what I believe it looks like in our life, is that each week we have a day and a time where we can just commit that day to rest and worship. See, if we are just going all the time in life, if we're always going on to the next thing, we can't kid ourselves and really believe that we are genuinely waiting on the Lord in our lives. And what the Bible calls this is, it calls this Sabbath. Does this ring a bell? It's one of the Big Ten. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Why? Because it's part of helping us to realize that, remember, we're human beings, not human doings, right? Our life isn't what we're always doing. Our life isn't our agenda, but our life is that we are the sons and daughters of God. That's where our value and our worth comes from. And the Sabbath is a reminder, hey, that this world, it existed long before us, and it will exist long after us. And we don't have to just be going all the time. We also need time of rest and renewal and worship with God. And I got to be honest with you, these last 4 months, I have completely failed in this one. My schedule's been busier than normal during COVID-19, and I have just totally failed and having one of my days during the week where it's just really focused on resting and connecting with God. And guess what? I feel it. I feel the drain of it, because you and I are wired for this. And it puts us in that posture of heart. Here's the second thing I would challenge you to do, is to take some time to just think and pray alone with God. I think one of the practices that we need in our lives in this day and age is silence and solitude. We need time where we turn off our cell phone, where we get off social media, where we just get away from people, and we can do what the psalm says. We can be still before the Lord. And if you haven't had any stillness in your life for a while, I want to encourage you to make that a priority. I know you're busy. I know you might be thinking, well, how can I do that? And when am I going to do that, Pastor? I got kids. I got this stuff. And I don't know those answers, but I know if you really think it's a priority, you'll find a way. You with me on this? And it is a priority. Your soul needs it. Your mind needs it. And some of us, what we need right now is just some quiet time in the presence of God, where we get away from all the noise, all the distraction, and we can just focus on Him. That's part of how we wait. Here's also how we wait, is we wait by just committed, persistent, and faithful prayer. See, the scriptures say that sometimes we have to just pray persistently. I wish that every prayer you and I had, it was just you pray it and boom, happens, it's good, you can move on to the next thing. But Jesus taught us. He said, hey, sometimes you got to be persistent in prayer. Sometimes you got to be pestering the Lord in prayer. Sometimes you got to keep coming back to that prayer again and again and again, because it's part of what God wants to do in you and through you during that process. And I just want to encourage you today, if you've been praying for some things, or you've been praying for someone for the last 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, 30 years, but you still know it's the right thing to keep praying for, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep praying. This might be part of God's season of waiting for you, but here's what I know. If you keep praying, He's worth the wait. He's worth the wait. There's a reason. There's a purpose to this experience. He's worth the wait. And then here's the last thing about waiting. Waiting on the Lord, it's a commitment to inner faith, not inner anxiety. See, I've noticed in my life there's two ways of waiting. Two ways. And here's the context of my example. Allie and I have very different conceptions of time. Is that a nice way to say it? We experience time very differently. When we're getting ready to go someplace, you know, I'm a guy, it takes me about 45 seconds to get ready. You know, showers, 15 seconds, clothes, sandals, I'm good to go, you know. Real easy. For Allie, it's a little bit different experience. And many times, I'll be kind of waiting down in the kitchen or waiting in the living room. We'll be going to a friend's or going out to dinner or going to our family. And I'll think, all right, you know, we've got about 5 minutes before we have to leave to be on time. And then that 5 minutes will pass. Like, all right, we're going to be about 5 minutes late now. Then that time passes. 10 minutes late. 15 minutes late. 20. Can I get an amen on? Anybody know what I'm talking about here? 30, 35, 40? No. And in that moment of waiting, there's two things that happen to me. One, I get really frustrated. And so by the time Allie comes down, I'll always have a really snarky remark. I know this is shocking. You cannot see that ever happening. But every once in a while, I'll just say, babe, what did you get lost up there? Did you fall in the bathtub? What happened? And I'll just have something smart alky to say. And I'll hurt her feelings. And it puts a damper on whatever we're going to do. And then about 2 minutes after I say it, I'm like, you idiot. You're a jerk. Is it that big of a deal? Is it that big of a deal? Your timeline's artificial anyway. But why are you going to hurt this girl that you love? Because you're an impatient animal. What's wrong with you? And so on my worst days, that's kind of what happens. On my good days, I'm just like, no worries. What's the big deal? We're still going to have a great time. And she comes down, and I'm like, babe, you look gorgeous. I would wait 3 more hours. It's worth it. And then I score brownie points, and it's a beautiful night. You guys aren't supporting me that much on that. Thank you. Thank you for the golf clap. But there's two types of waiting. There's the waiting of frustration, or there's the waiting of trust and patience. And notice what Psalm 37 says. Wait patiently for the Lord. Wait patiently. What kind of waiting? Not the waiting of inner anxiety, but the waiting of trust. See, whatever you might be waiting on in your life right now, there's two ways you can do it. You can wait, because sometimes, let's be honest, we don't have any other choice. We can't change it anyway. We can't change them anyway. And so how are we going to wait? Are we just going to wait and be stomping our foot and be getting angry? Are we going to lash out at God and others? Or can we learn the wisdom of this psalm? I'm going to wait patiently. I'm going to wait with a trusting heart. Lord, there must be a reason that you're doing this, and it's a reason not to harm me, but a reason to bless me. And I'm going to tell myself that story again and again as I wait. I'm going to feed my heart with everything that's good about the Lord, all the reasons that I've seen him work in my life, and I've been able to trust him, and I've seen him come through for me. And I'm not going to feed my heart with my fear and anxiety during my waiting. I'm going to feed my heart with faith and truth about who God is and how he's for me and what Christ came to do, and that means I can always trust him even when it doesn't make sense. If it always made sense to you, you would be God, right? If you could always figure it out and you knew the reason why everything happens that happens and you could put it all together and you had that huge perspective, you would be the Lord. But guess what? You're not. None of us are. So of course there's going to be seasons that are unexplainable, at least in that time, that we can't understand. We can't connect the dots. We can't put all the reasons together for. And those are the times to wait, not with an anxious heart, but with a trusting heart. Not with a heart that is believing the worst about what God is doing, but with a heart that is believing the best about what he's doing. That type of waiting changes us for good. The waiting of anxiety and doubt and frustration, it just drains our life of all the good things. But the trustful waiting becomes a time where God changes and God transforms and God blesses and God moves in our life. And so Psalm 37 says, if you are waiting on the Lord, wait that way. Wait patiently, and you will see him move for your good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us, Lord. I pray for all my brothers and sisters who just might be in a season of frustration, in a season of waiting. Father, I pray you would renew their strength. Father, you said if we wait on you and if we take heart, and we take courage that our strength will be renewed. And Father, this morning we're taking heart. We're acknowledging that this waiting, it's normal. As part of your eternal purpose. It's part of the development of our soul. It's part of our experience of walking with you. But Father, we pray for your grace that while we're in this moment, in this experience, we could wait patiently. We could wait trustingly. We could wait in a way that honors and glorifies your good and holy name. And we pray, Lord, that it would prepare us for all that you have for us. Help us in this. Be with us. Strengthen, Lord, those who are just struggling today. And Father, fill us with a renewed passion to glorify you in all that we do. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. Have an amazing week.